AccuWeather forecast: after the dense morning fog and tricky driving conditions this morning, the rest of the day is just cloudy with occasional rain and a high of about 40. Racine 3 Development Authority supports giving Fisher USA some help with property taxes as an economic incentive on a proposed expansion of that current Southwest Side location, which would include the controversial acquisition of less than an acre of neighboring Pierce Woods, but also adding 20 jobs in the process. The company's chief executive officer, Ryan Barth, explained to the RDA committee that the building to their west was actually considered for the expansion, but just deemed unsuitable for their needs.
It's difficult to move in that direction for the flow of our product. It's a significantly more expensive option going in that direction, and it's overall, we don't see it as a long-term solution for us.
The RDA's recommendation is for the Finance Committee to approve the trip assistance package at its next meeting. Of course, tomorrow at 5:15 p.m. in the City Hall Annex, it's the Park and Rec Board meeting on Fisher's request to actually buy that needed sliver of land in Pierce Woods. The Milwaukee Bucks and an investor group, according to a Green Bay TV station, tomorrow will reportedly announce the home of the team's new developmental league franchise will be Oshkosh, not Racine or Sheboygan. Racine Mayor John Dickert, of course, has stated all along that the development of a lakefront venue really not dependent on the Bucks, though certainly welcomed. In fact, he said, geared toward really a minor league hockey team, perhaps even other sporting activities.
Hockey generates more revenue, more nights, more fans than Bucks, indoor football, indoor soccer, all of it. But the project that we're looking at trying to finalize up here is all about, you know, having that asset of a brand new high quality hotel downtown, the convention center space, the entertainment, and all those things. Those things have a dramatic impact.
The Oshkosh Council recently voted to start moving on a project to build an arena as part of a business district. The Kenosha County Board meets at 7:30 tonight in the Downtown Administration Building. That agenda includes the confirmation of Horace Staples as the county's Director of Emergency Management, a resolution from Supervisor David Hallman condemning violence and hate speech, also expressing solidarity with Muslims and anyone who's targeted due to their race, religion, or ethnicity, and a resolution of support for the biennial budget request from the UW system. Land near Kenosha's Boys and Girls Club that was the site of a scrapyard and recycling facility finally is going to get cleaned up. The former Zizzo scrap and paper dealer property, stretching between 50th and 52nd Streets right along the railroad tracks, has been closed since 1999 and has been a source of many complaints for years. Kenosha City Council last night approving an agreement to allow the EPA to come in and clean up that site. Administrator Frank Bassetti saying the agency has set aside about $2 million for that effort. It's expected to begin this spring. Kenosha Alderman also approving a contract with Racine's Azarian Wrecking to take down the former Garb store in downtown on 6th Avenue at 58th Street, part of a plan to revitalize that area. And the Red Cross called in to Oak Creek last night, dealing with members of a displaced family from a fatal fire. One person died. A family pet also was lost. Common Council in Burlington, a committee of the whole meeting coming up at 6:30 tonight. The agenda includes a general discussion on the possibility of creating an at-large council due to the difficulty in finding replacements, not just to the main governing body, but also to committees. Those who are elected or appointed with an at-large system would represent the entire city, not just a district. The city's charter ordinance might also have to be changed. In all three possible scenarios, the word referendum is also mentioned. Racine Unified School Board had a work session last night about more facilities projects being targeted for work starting in the summer. Special emphasis, though, toward Horlick High School and needs decisions on both science and athletics issues. Superintendent Lolly Hawes talking about maybe a Band-Aid approach to adding 4 science classrooms at a cost of about $1 million, or there would be a costlier plan that would not only fix the science room problem, but also finally install an elevator at the school for ADA compliance.
We could add an elevator, we could add a 2-story addition that has 2 classrooms on the main floor and 2 classrooms on the second floor, and we'd have all the space we need, and it would be more than that. It would be excellent. It would be the ideal. It's the optimal choice. Now the price tag of that is about $3.5 million, right? But somewhere in that range. So we don't have that money.
Also a priority at Horlick, she said, renovating the field house, including the bleachers, lighting, basketball equipment, and the floor, just like at Park and Case, just not the locker rooms.
We could do this summer for Horlick or at Horlick the more conservative, adequate science and the field house, or we can delay the field house for a year and do the science expansion in a way that sets Horlick up for a couple of decades on having great science lab spaces. And there are reasons for both, and there would be community pressure for both.
Haas said that they're recommending that the science addition be the priority, but the board made no decisions, just asked some questions, maybe slipped in some comments. State Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection putting out its now annual warning against tax thieves. They use real Social Security numbers to file fake returns. DATCAP is urging you to report the activity.
When you file a complaint with DATCAP, it helps us connect the dots, especially in working with other states and the federal government on these scams.
That's Sandy Chalmers, who's urging you to keep your personal information private and don't fall for the phishing efforts that are popular with these tax scammers of late. And due to expected rain and mild temperatures this coming Saturday, the Snow Days Festival in downtown Kenosha is being postponed by 1 week until Saturday, February the 18th from 12 until 3 p.m. at Kenosha's Library Park. The chairman of the State Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee is State Senator Van Wongard. He wants a meeting with the FBI on these allegations of wrongdoing at the state's juvenile detention facilities and wants to know what's going on with the investigation.
Wongard, whose district covers parts of Racine and Kenosha counties, says the claims of abuse and mistreatment at the Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake correctional facilities are deeply concerning to everyone and to him personally as chairman of the committee. In a letter dated January 30th and released by his office yesterday, Wongard notes, legislators are only aware of the allegations that have been reported by the media or lawsuits. He said legislators have an obligation to ensure the alleged wrongdoing does not reoccur, but cannot without knowing the facts. Wongard requests a meeting with the special agent in charge in Milwaukee to discuss the investigation to date. According to Wongard's office, they have not yet received a reply. The FBI investigation has been going on for more than a year. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
General Capital Group of Fox Point will have until the end of December 2018 to get a financing package in order to create more than 80 apartments in the former Case Plowworks building at 6th and Marquette Streets, that under a purchase option and redevelopment agreement supported by the city's redevelopment authority. Development Director Amy Conley says it's a $100 purchase option. The purchase price on the property, $750,000. The city's calculated costs, over $86,000. General Capital's cost, more than $71,000. Conley noting a lot goes into these pre-development stages with the initial step in a three-step process toward actual construction.
And then once we're through with the pre-development stage, and we feel confident that their pro forma meets our needs and that the city is wanting to move forward, we would enter into work towards moving into a development agreement with the developer, and that would be the phase two, where we actually have them purchase the building. We would then be entered into a legal agreement with each other to turn over the building and meet certain financial and economic conditions.
That proposed housing project from General Capital with an estimated value of more than $18 million. The Sturtevant Village Board will meet at 6 o'clock tonight, and the agenda includes a resolution to authorize a contract with Patriot Canine in reference to the purchase of a dog for the police department and implementing a canine program. Also a resolution that authorizes the purchase of four sets of bleachers for Fireman's Park. And Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave has his first listening session of the new year tomorrow in the Village of Waterford, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Village Hall on North River Street. These get-togethers, as always, no appointments are necessary. The next meeting will be taking place in March in Racine at the Cesar Chavez Community Center at Douglas Park. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.